Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. But hey, look at this though. It's the 10th of May. That's double digits. Our little month is growing up so fast right before our eyes. Oh my goodness. Hi, we're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places. The folks bringing it to you today. Well, the man ready for the weekend. But there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
You can't keep me from getting drunk.
I would never try, sir. I would never try. Hey there, I'm the one everyone's talking about. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
He also listens to the Bare Naked Ladies. They'll get their dumbasses to help you.
Hey, let's not speak ill of the... Nonsense. Damn it, Jeff Winger. What happened on this fine day, sir?
Oh, they're just under the table and dreaming. In 1752, Benjamin Franklin tests his lightning rod for the first time. If you know what I mean.
1852, English chemist Edward Franklin announces the theory of valence. The theory lays out the fundamental principle that any atom can combine with a certain limited number of other atoms.
1860, the discovery of the element caesium is announced by German chemists Robert Bunsen and Dr. Honeydew. I'm sorry, Gustav Robert Kirchhoff to the Berlin Academy of Scientists.
1894, wireless is born when Guglielmo Marconi sends a radio wave 3/4 of a mile.
1925, John Thomas Scopes is given a preliminary hearing before three judges. He has been arrested and charged under a new Tennessee state law, the Butler Act, which prohibits the teaching of Charles Darwin's theory of evolution in public schools. Scopes had agreed to participate in a challenge to the law with the support of the local town leaders in Dayton, Tennessee, and the ACLU. A few weeks later, at what became known as the Scopes Monkey Trial, he will be found guilty and fined $100. Sadly, it has nothing to do with an actual monkey, which I was kind of hoping would wear suspenders and kind of tug at them while addressing the judge.
Or at least send us another postcard from chimpanzees. 1929, Disney completes the first silly symphony film, The Skeleton Dance. It is notable for being the first animated cartoon to use non-post sync sound.
1946, a V-2 rocket is successfully launched for the first time at the White Sands Proving Ground. A V-2 will become the first human device to achieve suborbital spaceflight.
And once they added six more, doctors approved. 1949, the first planetarium in the U.S. owned by a university opens at the University of Chapel Hill in North Carolina. The Moorhead Planetarium is one of the largest planetariums in the U.S., a gift of John Motley Moorhead III, class of 1891.
I've been there. It's pretty cool. 1954, Gordon Kidd Teal of Texas Instruments announces to the National Conference on Airborne Electronics in Dayton, Ohio, that TI has produced the first commercial mass-produced high-frequency germanium transistor.
You can't play drug wars on that. 1960, the nuclear submarine USS Triton completes the first wholly underwater circumnavigation of the Earth, Batman.
1962, the classic monster movie Mothra is released to U.S. theaters. In the movie, an expedition to an irradiated island brings civilization in contact with a primitive native culture. When one sensational entrepreneur tries to exploit the islanders, their ancient deity arises in retaliation.
Well, that's the plot of so many movies. 1969, Apollo 10 transmits the first color photographs of Earth from space.
2006, USA Today reports that the NSA has had a separate, previously undisclosed program in place since 9/11 to build a database of information about calls placed within the United States, including phone numbers dialed, dates, and the duration of each call. According to the article, phone companies AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon disclosed the requested records to the NSA freely, but Quest did not.
Yeah.
You'll notice one of those isn't around anymore. The article quotes an unnamed source as saying that it's the largest database ever assembled in the world. The Bush administration will not confirm the existence of the program. But on Fox News, George Bush refused to even confirm that he was refusing to confirm or deny reports that the government is maintaining a secret domestic telephone database, because that's never gone badly ever.
I will not say that I will not say.
Mission accomplished.
Birthdays?
Lindsay Shaw, 30 years old. Paige on Pretty Little Liars.
Odette Annabelle is 34. Beth in Cloverfield, the Astronaut Wives Club, is Rain in Supergirl, and of course, part of the whole Conjuring universe.
Nuh-uh. Kenan Thompson, 41 years old. He, of course, was Kel from Kenan and Kel, Good Burger, and Fat Albert.
You forgot Saturday Night Live. What up with that? Dallas Roberts is 49. That's Milton on season 3 of The Walking Dead.
Victoria Roswell, 60 years old, from Leonard Part 6, Dumb and Dumber, and Barbed Wire.
Meg Foster is 71 from Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Evil Lynn in Masters of the Universe, and not Kirstie Alley.
David Clemen, 76 from 30-something, and Palmer in The Thing.
No longer with us, born this date in 1838, John Wilkes Booth, an American actor. Oh, an assassin of Abraham Lincoln.
I was going to suggest American actor and political critic. 1899, Fred Astaire from Finian's Rainbow, Holiday Inn, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, known vacuum pimper.
1922, Nancy Walker, Ida on Rhoda, murdered by death, of course, was in the Bounty Paper Towel commercials and directed the Village People musical Can't Stop the Music, starring Bruce Jenner and Steve Guttenberg.
Wow. In 1929, George Coe from The Stepford Wives, SNL, Max Headroom, Woodhouse on Archer, But I First Saw Him, and Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
And stopped right there.
On CBS, we've got a new MacGyver, Hawaii 50, and Blue Bloods.
Over on ABC, it's, oh my God, look, a new Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're back in 2020.
NBC has a new, well, half of them are. Yeah. NBC has a new Blacklist in Dateline.
Over on Fox, it's a new Last Man Standing, The Cool Kids, then Easy's defense strategy hits a snag when Madeline's freedom hangs in the balance on a new proven innocent.
CW Fallon and Liam partner up to get revenge on Adam, who's been disrupting the former's personal matters and business on a new dynasty.
Over on AMC, it's Godfather and Godfather 2, which is a great double feature.
But they're not playing the best one. It's not good. A&E has a new life bid.
FX has Twilight Saga Eclipse.
But they're not even going to play the good one. I'm kidding. None of them are good. FXX Simpsons, American History, excellent. Mo Letter Blues and The Bob Next Door.
FXM has a film I'm not allowed to tell you about. And the second rule of that film is I'm still not allowed to tell you about it.
Yeah, no kidding. You're lucky, man. You'd have to pay extra dues next time you showed up. BBC America has Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with incredibly accurate accents.
So it begins. On Sci-Fi Channel, Orphan, which, even edited for TV, has to be creepy as hell.
CBS has E-League FIFA 19 Xbox Semifinal 1.
Sci-Fi Channel has a new Strange Evidence.
VH1 has School of Rock. Hey, they're doing something involving music.
Wow, that's crazy. But we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a teenager reaches out to her mother, who's doing time for a double murder, when a string of copycat murders leads her to believe that her mom is innocent and the real killer is now targeting her. Monroe Klein and Crystal Alley star in Am I a Serial Killer?
No.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad is scheduled to depose a man who is suspected of playing part in embezzling money from a large nonprofit charity that builds houses for the homeless, which means that guy's the biggest scumbag that Stefan ever is. Xander starts the deposition without him after Chad finds that Brady, the CEO of a massive natural gas fracking company, wait for him in his office. He's also one of the firm's biggest clients, but he ain't there to talk business. Nah, nah, nah. He wants Chad to find out why his 25-year-old daughter needs a fake ID. Not wanting to deal with a bunch of nonsense, he delegates his headache and pointless distraction to Stefan. Let him deal with that nonsense. Chad'd rather be anywhere else. I mean, somewhere you gotta wear a costume or a tuxedo. Hell, any kind of ensemble. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, there's not, because everyone is realizing that the clues for this week were layered, and now they're going back and listening to everything to see if they can stack those all up and make one big clue sandwich so they can figure out where Chad and Abby are. And if you figure that out, or just want to tell us anything else in the world, drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. You, of course, could also email us, which I just said, so how about voicemail, which is slightly different and totally not the same thing, because repetition is awful. I don't repeat things. I try not to. Repetition is not my job. I do not repeat things. Just dial
510-GRD-CROW.
Could we just release the Chab Nabbies all by themselves? Yes, we could. But then you wouldn't have to re-download the episode.
That's right.
And we download.
It's all about numbers, baby.
Tell your friends to download. Tell everybody.
A wanderer of the first people. A healer on the run from his church. An honor-bound veteran of the wars. A young woman struggling with her arcane power. A blade-bound orphan from the streets, whose legacy is The Heart of the Hunter. A fantasy audiobook set in the shared world of Kor and I. From the co-creator of Changeling the Dreaming and Wraith the Oblivion. Available for free at bit.do/hearthunter.
Boys and girls, this is Robert Llewellyn, the actor behind the mask of Crichton from the BBC television show Red Dwarf, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. You must be very, very clever.
Of course you are. That's how you deduce clues, even if they're layered in a very crazy way. with the very strange crew, with the very, whatever, blah, 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 blah. It's time to talk about stuff.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
They certainly do, and in once in a great while, those things get greenlit and even potentially made, and there's new stuff out this weekend. So tell me, what can we go see, even though we're not going to?
In limited and digital release, we've got Years After the Shocking Murders that made the name Charles Manson synonymous with pure evil. The three women who killed for him, Leslie Van Houten, Patricia Krenwinkel, and Susan Atkins, remain under the spell of the infamous cult leader. Confined to an isolated cell block in a California penitentiary, the trio seems destined to live out the rest of their lives under the delusion that their crimes were part of a cosmic plan. Chase Crawford, Hannah Murray, and Matt Smith, yes, that Matt Smith, star in Charlie Says.
Turn on the radio, Charlie Says, turn off the lights. In nationwide release, Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson star as female scam artist. One low rent, the other high class, you figure out who's who. They team up to take down the dirty, rotten men, but not the scoundrels who have wronged them. Anne Hathaway, Bruno Savilli, and Rebel Wilson star in The Hustle.
I'd watch a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels starring Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. That would be fantastic.
As opposed to that remake that they did, yeah.
Oh, they did?
They did.
Oh, never mind. Scratch all that then. Exploring the formative years of the orphaned author as he finds friendship, love, and artistic inspiration among a group of fellow outcasts at school. This takes this particular author into the outbreak of World War I, which threatens to tear the fellowship apart. All of these experiences would, of course, inspire Tolkien to write his famous Middle Earth novels. Nicholas Holt, Peter Chernin, and Craig Roberts star in Tolkien.
When Ace Detective Harry Goodman goes mysteriously missing, prompting his 21-year-old son Tim to find out what happened, aiding in the investigation is Harry's former Pokemon partner, Detective Pikachu, a hilariously wisecracking, adorable super sleuth who is a puzzlement even to himself, finding out that they are uniquely equipped to communicate with one another. Ryan Reynolds, Justice Smith, Rita Ora, Ken Watanabe, and Bill Nye star in Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
If that isn't enough super weird creatures that have come to life for you, then tune into Svengoolie on MeTV. He has a tale that is not for the young, the scary, the nervous. But if you enjoy thrills, chills, and spine-tingling sensations while your hair stands on end, then see Universal's Shiveriest Sensation. Created in a weird scientist's laboratory from the skeletons of two women and the heart of a living girl. She breathes, sees, hears, walks. But can she love? See Boris Karloff and Elsa Lancaster in The Bride of Frankenstein, even though she was made to marry the monster, not the doctor who is the one that's named Frankenstein.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt might have ended in January, but that does not mean it's over.
And it's kind of exactly what it means.
Not this time. Fans are getting one more episode of the series. During a Netflix FICE panel about the series, creator and executive producer Tina Fey announced plans for a Bandersnatch-style interactive episode that's set for release next year.
I have long waited to be interactive with Kimmy Schmidt. Or see her.
According to Faye, this will officially complete the series. As she said, quote, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt was one of the first original comedy series on Netflix, and that will be the first interactive comedy event. Fans will be able to make choices on behalf of our characters, taking different story paths with, of course, different jokes.
Different jokes? Wait, that's a thing people do?
I've never heard of it. Netflix has used its interactive tech, you know, some kids' shows. They branched out with the one-off Black Mirror episode last year, and a not-officially-called Choose Your Own Adventure survival series starring Bear Grylls. There's no word on exactly what this episode will include, but it's no surprise that we're getting it. Netflix VP of Product Todd Yellen told the press in March, for future settings, it could be a wacky comedy, it could be a romance where the audience gets to choose, she could go out with him or him!
Sounds like Netflix is having an identity crisis.
Don't worry about Netflix. They're like a biscotti. People act like they're the sweet cookie, but what they really are is the super hard thing that nobody knows what they are or why they are.
It's deep. Are you ready for some disaster porn?
Do I have to be?
But it's from the master of the genre, Roland Emmerich.
He does like to destroy stuff. It's kind of his thing.
Cities, planets, Shakespeare's career, he's willing to blow it all up in the name of entertainment. His latest Destroy Fest is going to give him a chance to blow up two giant things at once.
His budget and his ego?
Ooh, sick burn. Emmerich is making Moonfall, in which a group of astronauts tried to prevent the moon from crashing into Earth.
Bruce Willis, please pick up the courtesy Save the Planet phone. Bruce Willis, please pick up the courtesy Save the Planet phone.
The synopsis says, a ragtag team of astronauts is forced to land on the moon's surface, where the moon is knocked out of Earth's orbit, sending it hurtling on a collision course with Earth and threatening all of mankind. Which means we will get more of the patented big tidal waves that crash into cities, something he loves to put in movies like 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow and Marley and Me.
Hollywood doesn't want to miss a thing.
The synopsis just goes on way too far into what a mysterious force it is that knocks the moon from its orbit around Earth and sends a hurling on collision course with life as we know it. And the astronauts must battle an unknown and unfathomable power that will challenge everything we know about the moon, the universe, and ourselves.
So, aliens? Or moon Nazis?
Oh, he likes those too. He first pitched this idea in 2016. No mention of mysterious unfathomable powers then. That means a rewrite got this thing made. And that means that you owe me $5. His movies do have scripts.
Damn! Loot boxes. Microtransactions. We keep complaining about them, and yet they continue.
Why won't somebody do something?
Someone finally is. Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri, announced a bill that would ban loot boxes and pay-to-win microtransactions in, quote, games played by minors, a broad label that the senator says will include both games designed for kids under 18 and games, quote, whose developers knowingly allow players to engage in microtransactions.
I want to like this.
Hawley will introduce the bill, the Protecting Children from Abusive Games Act, to the U.S. Senate soon. In press materials announcing the bill, his team brought up the, you know, Activision's Candy Crush as an example of the over-the-top demands for pay-to-win microtransactions, since they have a $150 luscious bundle that comes with what you actually need to win the damn game. The bill will also likely apply to, well, most every online game that features loot boxes and other ways in which players can spend their money for real benefits.
See, that's why I gave up on Candy Crush. It gave me diabetes of the soul. And then the bank account. This is why people watch others play video games. It's cheaper. Twitch.tv/RichieMonster.
Last fall, the Federal Trade Commission promised to investigate loot boxes following a letter from Senator Maggie Hassan, Democrat from New Hampshire, that she wrote in the wake of 2017 string of games featuring heavy usage of predatory microtransactions, such as Middle Earth, Shadow of War, Star Wars Battlefront 2. And although some companies have eased up on the usage of them, games like Overwatch, FIFA, and Apex Legends continue to make big money off randomized microtransactions. Many of those games are played by both adults and children.
Ooh, new game show idea. Are you more frugal than a fifth grader?
The Entertainment Software Association, the video game industry lobbyist group, released a statement shortly after the bill was introduced saying numerous countries, including Ireland, Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom, determined that loot boxes do not constitute gambling, and we look forward to sharing with the senator the tools and information the industry already provides that keeps the control of in-game spending in parents' hands. Parents already have the ability to limit or prohibit in-game purchases with easy-to-use parental controls.
Sure, one of the best ones is not saving billing information on devices, but those are a pain in the butt having to enter them in every time your kid wants something.
We know that, ESA. We know that. But we're talking about needing to buy something to make actual progress. And not to sound like the old man that I am, but damn, I miss buying a game and it was just absolutely complete right off the bat.
Games should not cost you extra. In fact, they should make you money. Twitch.tv/RichieMonster.
Dude, there's a ton of game streamers. I think the market's kind of bloated, don't you?
Nah, you just need a gimmick, which is why I play Fortnite while doing beard ASMR.
And that's why we don't do gaming on our YouTube channel.
Speaking of wasted money, Fallout 76's new patch added many things to the game, including backpacks and a new set of mini-quests inspired by the great outdoors. The big one, though, is player vending machines. Players have been allowed to trade items with one another since the game was released, but the new vending machines allow them to set up little automated stores at their campsites that anyone can use while they're away.
Great. A dystopian landscape littered with used undie machines.
Players simply stock the shelves with the items they want to sell, set the prices, and then go back to exploring the wasteland. But there's a catch. Every sale comes with a 10% tax.
Papa always gets a taste.
You will receive a notification whenever a player buys one of your items. 90% of the sale price will be added to your cap balance, read the latest patch notes. This 10% fee has been designed to help maintain the health of the game's economy and mitigate inflation.
How in the world does that help support a healthy game economy?
Because they said so.
Oh.
But caps are not Fallout 76's premium currency. They're only found in-game and can be earned by killing monsters, selling stuff to robot vendors, and trading with other players. That money is not easy to get, so, well, many players are rightfully upset.
Cost nothing for the company to issue the caps, yet they're taking a cut. Man, we're in the wrong racket!
Since the 10% tax doesn't hit wealthier players harder, or redistribute to the poorer ones, it doesn't change the underlying economic balance, or lack thereof in the game. Adding a tax is another interesting evolution of Fallout 76's world. It could be just the beginning of other interventions in the game's economy. One of the most popular proposals currently is for the tax revenue to go toward building a permanent residence for the game's traveling friendly mutant Graham.
That would at least serve a purpose.
One group of gamers is already working on a way to hack into these vending machines to pay out the 10% tax to them, and not Bethesda. They are going by the name Fallout 11.
As robots become more and more a regular part of our life, one thing that is keeping people's interest in them lower than it should be is a lack of personality. As incredible an invention as the Roomba may be, it doesn't have nearly enough personality.
I don't need a whiny C-3PO. Besides, a Roomba's made to suck.
What about a Roomba that cusses whenever it bumps into things?
Shut up and take each of my monies! All of them!
This Roomba was created by Michael Reeves, a YouTuber whose channel is filled with engineering feats that the world really wants. You know, like a machine that forces its wearer to dab by electrocuting their muscles.
Weird flex, but okay.
The premise of his latest invention is simple. It's a Roomba that curses when it bumps into things. As he says, all that you really need to know is that when a collision gets detected by sensors, sound gets played from Raspberry Pi to a Bluetooth speaker. After showing off some computer voices, Reeves says the point of the screaming is so that it doesn't feel like a robot, but instead a living creature that's in pain. The end result is a machine. The end result is a machine that yells in agony, roaring, "Why was I created this way? Or God effing damn it!" when it bumps into chairs or counters.
I can relate to that.
He even took the Roomba to a Target so average shoppers can witness the mechanical marvel. And while there are good reviews, he concludes that it appears as though our invention is simply too far ahead of its time.
If you drop that thing on Shag, it would be diagnosed with Tourette's.
Now that there's a swearing, miserable Roomba, the world is a brand new place. Now we can get an oven, maybe, that yells at you to check on your damn pizza before it burns? Or a smart thermostat that calls you a wimp for being too cold or too hot? Or even the mechanized analyst reframing verbal interactive nanocomputer who would simply tell you,
"Life. Don't talk to me about life."
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website. It's geekradiodaily.com. It's a fun place. You'll like it. You know, there's the aforementioned YouTube where no video gaming occurs. And now that we said that, nothing but video game feeds are going to pop up on the... Fine. Fine, but we're getting 10% of the cap there, baby. Drop us a note, won't you please? Tell us where Chad and Abby are. You got until Monday to figure it out for this week. Next week, they'll be on a new show. So drop that note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or send us a voicemail, won't you? It's
510-GRD-CRAFT.
And that doesn't mean you throw caps at us at cons.
No, at least not this time. Or, you know, if you pay enough money.
What do you think? It stinks.
Man, game over.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
Well, thank you all for joining us on What Up With That, where tonight we will salute Hollywood. We're gonna talk about films. We're gonna talk about features. We're gonna talk about creatures, cinema teachers. We're gonna talk about sequels, prequels, squeakles, eagles, beagles, seagulls, peoples, weasels, everybody sing! Ooh-wee! Bumble Cat, what up with that? Oompa Loompa, what up with that? Ooh-wee! What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up? I say, what's up? What is up with that? What is up with that? What is up with that? Now, if you go to the movies, don't get too much liquid butter. Yes! 'Cause it's nasty.